Matt, how are you?
I'm very good, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Who's got the best gig in the world besides you? Front row seats for all the games. Saturday night's game against Notre Dame. You get to stay up to 3 in the morning getting your stories and blogs done. How fun is that?
You know, at times it can be exciting, but when you're headed home at about 3:30 in the morning, it can be a little rough, but it's not terrible.
Well, I wanted to talk about Mark D'Antonio, but that's going to be the second topic because you have a front page top fold story on Mr. D'Antonio and how he left Spiro Hospital yesterday at 3 o'clock. But when I go to the front page of the Detroit News, at the top of the top fold, here's the headlines I'm sure MSU is cringing at. MSU player, 9 others face charges in Detroit public schools theft ring. What a nightmare that the Spartans are going to have to deal with now.
Yeah, you know, and it's almost too bad because this one really, you know, everyone knows about the incident last year on campus when that was really a lot of football players, and that was kind of a big deal. But this one is almost, you know, it doesn't have a whole lot to do with the football program. It's one guy. But it's, you know, it is kind of difficult because obviously he's a known name, and that's the one name out of this that'll come out. And, you know, unfortunately for them, it's just something, you know, just another thing they have to deal with. So,
Well, it's Deion Sims, and he's the highly touted tight end. You know, I wanted to ask you, what happened to him last year? He got a lot of playing time. It seems like he's getting less playing time. I know the Spartans are deep at tight end. But what's been his story?
Well, they've been real high on him, and I think if you notice in the statement that the athletic director, Mark Hollis, put out yesterday, that apparently this investigation has been going on for a little while, dating back to, gosh, I want to say the late winter, spring of last year, and he made them aware of that. So I think, what their plan was to kind of wait and see how this played out, if charges came up, and that's why I think at that point they made the choice simply not to play him. I don't think it was anything related to how well he was playing, but it was, you know, the pending legal issues that were out there.
We're talking with Matt Charbonneau, who covers Michigan State University football and basketball for the Detroit News, and we're talking about the story about sophomore tight end Deion Sims. He's been charged with 9 others with felony receiving and concealing stolen property in a massive laptop theft ring that allegedly victimized Detroit Public Schools. Sims faces up to 10 years in prison. According to a statement released by Hollis, Matt, Sims has not played in any of the 3 games because he's known about this investigation since mid-February. Sims can still go to class and still has access to the Clara Bell Smith Student Academic Center. But as far as football activities, he's suspended from the team.
Right. You know, and they're not, obviously, you know, they don't want to, you know, let him go right away. Obviously, you know, the whole legal process has to play out. So, you know, I've had a lot of questions up to this point, too, about why he hasn't been playing, but I think people know that now. And, you know, once the process kind of plays out, we'll see where he's at that point.
According to your story in today's sports section of the Detroit News, at 3 o'clock yesterday, Mark D'Antonio went home. What's the latest with his situation? How's he doing? What's he going to be doing for the next few days? And according to your story, he will not be at the Northern Colorado game?
Right. He will not be there. And, you know, nobody from Mark Hollis on down is putting any pressure on him to get back anytime soon. In fact, you know, he's probably going to be the one, you know, pushing the most to come back. But as we've been told by Mark Hollis and Don Treadwell, his assistant, that, you know, his wife has had a pretty tight leash on him and doesn't want to allow him to come back too soon. So, you know, he talked to a couple of his players last night before he came home, and from all indications, he's doing really well, and he's in pretty good spirits. So, you know, I wouldn't expect him to be away from it for too awful long.
And from what we know, his health is good. He had the stent placed in his heart, so I think he went home a couple of days earlier than might have been anticipated. Is the health regimen going to change? Diet, did you get any sense of that at the press conference yesterday?
No, you know, they didn't talk too much about that, but the thing about it with Coach D'Antonio is you know, he did such a good job previously of keeping himself in shape. He was a regular exerciser. He, you know, he's always eaten well. So, you know, he's already kind of a guy who is doing the right things. Obviously, he'll have some rehab time, according to a lot of the doctors. So, you know, I think he's in a better position than maybe a lot of people are, since he was already kind of doing the right things anyway.
When talking about Spartan offensive coordinator Don Treadwell, who's taking over the team until D'Antonio gets back in his chair, I heard Bill Simonson on the Huge Show yesterday refer to Don Treadwell as David Treadwell, the old kicker from the NFL. No one really knows Mr. Treadwell. He doesn't toot his horn a lot, but the guy has a lot of experience. I've sat down and talked with him before. He's a pretty passionate guy, and it appears he's almost a D'Antonio clone, same demeanor, same game plan. I would imagine, as stated in your story, it'll be business as usual.
Yeah, you know, it is funny because he talked about that yesterday, and the way he and D'Antonio are a lot alike in their kind of business-like approach. You know, but they've been, you know, they've been together for a long time. They first coached together 20-plus years ago when they were graduate assistants at Youngstown State. And, you know, obviously they haven't coached the entire time together, but they've, you know, been with each other a lot. They've known each other, you know, for more than any other coaches know each other. So, you know, it's certainly not going to be a big stretch making the move from Coach D'Antonio to Coach Treadwell.
Matt, and the player, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, the players yesterday just talked about that, how, you know, practice wasn't all that different. Obviously, it's, you know, they don't have their head coach there, but in terms of the way things are running, it's, you know, pretty much the same routine.
Matt, in talking about Little Giants, the fake field goal, which went for a touchdown mm-hmm. and won a big game, whose call was that? Was that suggested from the booth or anyone on the sideline, or did that just pop into Coach D'Antonio's brain?
That was Coach D'Antonio, 100%. In fact, you know, but they had been working on that play all week. And if you talk to some of the players, like Aaron Bates, the holder, you know, that he apparently D'Antonio wanted to call that, or was prepared to call that earlier in the game, but then they ended up getting a first down and scoring, so he didn't need to. So, you know, that was him 100%. In fact, if you watch the replay of that, you know, they have the little kind of little huddle there right before the play, and you see him say, "Run, Little Giants," just like he told us. And those players just looked at him, and there they went. So that was, and you know, and Coach Treadwell talked about it yesterday as well. He said that was 100% head coach decision that didn't come from anywhere else.
Just a few more questions for Matt Charbonneau from the Detroit News, who covers Michigan State University football. Matt, I also wanted to talk a little bit about the Spartans, who are ranked 23rd now in a couple of different polls. The biggest victory for D'Antonio and a must victory over Notre Dame, do you think, was that game?
Yeah, you know, in terms of a must victory, maybe not so much, but you know, was it his biggest? I mean, you can certainly argue that. There was talk of that before the game even. I mean, you know, just with the expectations of this team, the way the schedule sets up this year, that it was almost kind of a, if you win that game, you're really set up for, you know, a really big year. And if they would have lost, you know, would it have ruined the season? No. You know, but to get in such an emotional, you know, fashion that they did, you know, it'd be hard to see them not building off of that momentum, that's for sure.
I want to talk about a little sidebar story about a knucklehead. You know how knuckleheadish radio talk show hosts can be. Apparently, Matt Patrick told his WTCR-FM listeners in South Bend, Indiana on Tuesday morning that you don't cheat when playing Notre Dame or else God will get you. The morning talk show host discovered that you don't mess with Michigan State. Set the story up for our listeners, Matt.
Well, from what I understand, like it's like you said, he, you know, he said that basically God was getting back at Mark D'Antonio for beating the Irish, and you know, in explaining it, he said he's trying to be funny, but you know, you wonder where the common sense is in that. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, he has since apologized for that statement. I'm not going to come on the radio and preach about our Lord and Savior, if you will. But I would imagine God's got a few other things to do than put ideas in Mr. Matt Patrick's head. He since apologized in the statement that he said that, and I quote, Michigan State's feeble attempt, Michigan State's attempt to cheat on the last play of the game to beat the Irish had God say he's going to get you. What a moron.
Yeah, I'm with you on that
all
one.
Right. All right, well, as we go into this week, it's a team that Michigan State should have no problem with. Northern Colorado, what do we know about them, and what should we expect?
You know, it's hard to know a heck of a lot about some of these, I guess you call them Division I AA teams. It's not like when Michigan a few years ago lost to Appalachian State. I mean, that was a team that had been a national champion at that level. Whereas Northern Colorado really hasn't had that kind of success. They're 2-1 this year. But, you know, it's hard to gauge too much. They're not really on TV. You don't see a lot about them. It's kind of an unknown going in. But, Coach Treadwell and Coach D'Antonio both coached at that level at some point. So, you know, the chance that these guys will take them lightly, I think, is pretty slim. But, you never know. They still need to come in focus, but... I would certainly expect them to, have a fairly easy time.
And then, of course, Matt, the big contest will be the home game against Wisconsin on October 2nd. Looking forward to that.
Yep. And then followed right the very next week at Michigan, so it doesn't get any easier.
All right. And for folks who want to read Matt Charbonneau's stories, all you need to do is go to DETnews.com, go to the sports section. Matt Charbonneau, Charbonneau. He blogs. He's got all the information there. Matt, thanks so much.
All right, Tony, appreciate it. Thanks.